Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me on this episode is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
Oh, I'm doing great, son.
Good, good. Did you have a good Easter?
Oh, absolutely.
Good, good. Very nice. So we're talking about sports. One thing I didn't mention that happened pretty recently, the Jets got Chris Johnson.
Yeah, fantastic,
CJ2K, huh? Their running back from Tennessee.
So, speed.
Speed. Speed. He's not going to be a 2,000-yard back anymore, but he can at least complement a power runner and a bruiser. So,
but in the passing game, he can break stuff.
Yeah, short pass.
Because they didn't get DeSean Jackson.
No.
Because that would have helped them. Imagine those two.
I was so convinced they were going to get DeSean, though. Because they were in the running for it. They were actually talking about trying to trade for him before he got released. So
I thought Andy Reid. You know, I just went with the two obvious.
Yeah, but now he's down in Washington.
Right. And immediately he wanted number 10.
He wanted number 10, but there's a new rule in the NFL because number 10 by the Redskins is worn by Robert Griffin III.
Sure, and he has 3 and 10.
Exactly, and he has one of the highest selling jerseys. So now, in the past, you could just, you know, make a bargain with that person.
Oh, who had private the number. Deal.
Right, be like, hey, you know, if you donate $1,000 to a charity.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, because of the jersey sales, what has to happen now is that player who wants that number has to buy all of the
remaining on stock or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Stock, and then and only then are they allowed to broker a deal with the other player to get that jersey. So then after they buy, several thousand jerseys of their own, then they can say, all right, now I'll give you $1,000 to have your number. So, yeah. So they made that rule a long time ago, pretty recently.
So that's not happening.
No, it's not happening. So
11 makes sense, right?
Yeah, 11 works. I mean, it still fits in the, the numbers for the offensive skill position players. You know, quarterbacks can have 0 through or 1 through 19. Yeah. Wide receivers can have 10 through 19 and 80 through 89.
Okay.
So
now their number one receiver last year, the Redskins, he'll be number two behind
probably.
Jackson, but they're great two great. I think targets, right?
Yeah. Well, Pierre Garçon and. Right. DeSean Jackson had a really good year last year with Nick Foles and under the Chip Kelly offensive system.
Right.
So.
Well, don't forget it now. Everybody has had time to look at Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
So he's not surprising anybody.
No, he's not.
So and now it's going to be a little bit tougher, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It's going to be tougher for him. But, I mean, that's what this league's all about.
Right.
But
it looks like the Giants made a lot of moves.
They did, but...
Built their secondary defense back to front like Seattle did.
I agree. And, well, that's the trend. I mean, you know, we talked
back
about how this is a knee-jerk reaction league. And if you win the Super Bowl, convincingly win the Super Bowl...
43-8.
There's no more convincing. Nothing more convincing than that. Mm-hmm. So to see that happen... From the defense now rules the game until somebody else who comes up with the most amazing offensive playbook takes over for a team, and then they're way ahead of the game
trendy.
So. No, absolutely. So the trend is now the defense.
Yeah, the Cowboys haven't done anything, have they?
No.
They lost. They're in a negative.
Yeah, they're in the
so
negative.
So it's all about the draft.
Yeah, they're talking about Manziel and stuff. And all this stuff. Who knows? The draft is now later. Usually it's around this time, late April, but now it's not going to be till May 8th.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about adding a fourth day to the draft. Still seven rounds, but they want to.
I remember when it was 300 something rounds.
There was a lot of rounds.
Like sort of,
well, there was only.
I forgot what they called the last possible, the last pick.
Oh, they
320.
Mr. Well, now it's Mr. Irrelevant.
Right.
And now it's a joke. It's like an award given out. Like who's Mr. Irrelevant?
Course.
Who's the last one to get the draft? So, but it was easier back then when it was 16, 20, 24 teams. Now it's 32, so it's a lot more. And then you have the compensatory picks. The comp you know, the ones that get compensated for losing a free agent.
Well,
and
now
all that
you
stuff.
have free agency, which is retail, and the draft is wholesale.
No, it's true.
So people want to buy wholesale. Who doesn't?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah. So that's coming up. The draft is coming up, and right now baseball's going full steam.
So Clowney, you would take him no matter what.
Clowney, yeah, I think you'd have to. I know there's all this
talk. Pair him with AJ Watt.
JJ Watt in J. Houston. Watt. Yeah. I don't know. The question is, it is, but who's their quarterback? They got rid of Schaub.
Yeah, but you really think there's a lot of good quarterbacks right now that can play right now? I mean, don't all these guys have to sit a little bit?
Not all.
Who do you like?
Who do I like?
Yeah, that can start right now.
I'll tell you what. In the state of Texas,
right?
Johnny Manziel. If Johnny Manziel gets picked by Jacksonville, it's not going to work.
I think Johnny Manziel is advised to gain some weight.
True.
He looks too light to fight and too thin to win.
I think that's true. I think Teddy Bridgewater is somebody who might need to sit. He can't start.
Yeah, I'm looking around, you know, and it doesn't look like it's all that plentiful.
No. It's not that plentiful, but there are high-ceiling guys.
Yeah.
They're high-ceiling guys, but what I'm saying is for Manziel, if he takes his road to any place but the state of Texas,
Jaguars. He should go to the Jags.
It's not going
to
work.
He should go to the Jags.
He should, but it's not. I would love
to see that.
No, I think it'd be great, and it would actually.
I think they have a chance. I mean, that's some amazing coaching. They're talking about not worrying about losing last year.
Yeah, well,
they're building a unit.
Well, good for them. Now, did you hear about the Jacksonville Jaguar player who retired because he suffered a mini stroke during a play?
That.
And they actually have they have video online of the play, and it's the most innocent. It was a block.
Right.
He's on defense. Yeah. He's a defensive player. I forget his name. And he came up and he was blocked by an offensive lineman.
Okay.
And it wasn't like a head to head shot. It was like more like a face mask to face mask shot. And apparently there. He almost felt like a kind of like a hiccup in his body. He didn't even sit out a play. He had no idea, but apparently it was a stroke. He suffered. It was very small, and he recovered. And when he found that out, apparently after the season, he was talking to the doctors. They're like, "You've got all these black spots in your mind. You know, can you think about?"
And he's like, "I gotta go."
And he thought back, and he's like, "Well, it was this." And then he's like, "Oh, wow." So he retired. He's 27.
So he said, "Excuse me, doc." And he dialed his lawyer.
So he's 27. He retired on a
you owe me.
Yeah, exactly. It's not one of those plays where you go like, "Wow, he got jacked up on that one."
I'm talking about jacked up. Like, what about
Keyshawn Johnson?
Keyshawn Johnson have that part of it. Girlfriend jacked up.
Yeah, he got arrested. Domestic abuse and stuff like that. Yeah,
right. So that would be the special.
Yeah, because they on ESPN they do the jacked up program.
How many other crooks do they have on that?
Michael Irvin. Well, he's not a crook. He's just
He's just a user.
He's a user. He's a user and abuser, but not a dealer.
He brings something to the game.
Who, Irvin?
Yeah. In cold weather, he dresses nice.
Well, yeah, he is stylish. But those were all the cowboy players of the 90s. Dion was a sharp dresser. Right. Emmett was more the demure. Yeah. It was the demure of the bunch. Keyshawn Johnson.
And what about Marino?
Marino with
Schwarzenegger. I mean, all these guys. What is that? Love Child?
Something. Oh yeah, Marino's got the Love Child thing. Yeah, I don't know. It's that's above my pay grade. You know what I mean?
Helping children and women across America.
Yeah, you know.
NBA players.
Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp is a big. He's got a lot too. Of course, Antonio Cromartie, famously has 7 kids from 6 different women in 5 different states, or you know, something along those lines. It's crazy.
One of the states are not destitution.
No. Now there is news on Dan Marino though. Him and Joe Montana, after or before the last Niners game at Candlestick Park, will do an exhibition flag football game. Montana on one side, Marino on the other.
They will do this?
Yeah, that's the plan. They're going to do that. That could be fun. Float flag football.
Is it going to be in the sand?
No. It'll be on the field. I think I don't know if it's before or after the final game, but they're going to be the...
Is it with kids or with adults?
You know, I didn't... All I know is that they're
going to... Marino tends to just scream at people if things aren't going right.
Well, yeah. Well, but I mean, that's the kind of competitor he is. Now, what I would love to see is how much of those old juices get flown where it's like, no, this is it. This is my only chance to beat this guy. I went to one Super Bowl and he stole it from me. No, I got to beat him.
This is for my pension, baby.
Yeah, exactly. But football's not here yet. It's all about baseball
right now.
It's
exciting. It's only once a week.
Yeah.
Baseball's all the time.
Well, 160.
You know, will it be a trivia question in the future?
What?
Well, who's the closer after?
Mariano Rivera? Yeah, sure.
And the answer is?
The answer is David Robertson.
And then he went down?
And then he went down, and then it was, I don't know, I think it might have been Dave Veras or somebody like that.
No, Farnsworth's your closer.
Oh, and for the Mets, yeah.
Does that mean you have problems?
No, I'm fine.
Are you liking it?
It's better than Valverde. Valverde. Yeah, Jose Valverde was out of...
He's a crowd pleaser.
He is. Papa Grande?
He jumps around.
He's
animated.
He gets really into it, but that works when you were 43 out of 43 saves, you know, three years ago. But 2 years ago, you stank on ice. Last year, you don't make the team, right. And then they bring you on. And then they call you up, and you're still bad.
Is it a scrap heap that the Mets go to, like, in the offseason get bodies off?
But the scrap heap for relievers is where you want to go because they have alternating years. If you have a good year, you are guaranteed to have not a good year the next year.
True.
Because of overuse, because you probably pitched in 80 games, 90 innings the previous year. You need a break. And then you sort of reinvent yourself. You get bad for a year, and then you come back with something. Oh, I added, you know, I was tipping my pitches, or I added a changeup now, or I'm putting more emphasis on location, I'm working faster, and stuff like that. So it's better to get a reliever after he's been bad for a year.
Right. So talking about bad, I mean, what about the senior citizen bank crew down in Philadelphia?
You know, you've heard this. We stayed too long at the party. The party went on just a little bit too long. I mean, that's but they kind of saw this.
It sells seats.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to
sentimental Philly fans.
Well, sure, of course, but I mean, you know, how long did Steve Carlton pitch after the 80 World Series when, you know, he pitched up until 87?
He was worth buying a ticket for though.
Oh, I'm sure to see him. Sure. Mike Schmidt, he stayed until 89. He retired a couple weeks into the 89 season because I just can't do it anymore. And he had been around since the 70s, you know, the 70s.
A big bang in third baseman.
Sure. Yeah. But, I mean, but that goes for just about anybody. How long did, Bernie Williams for the Yankees, he technically hasn't retired yet. Technically, he hasn't retired yet.
Right.
So, but, I mean.
But he could never carry a team.
Sure. He probably couldn't. No.
And again, he couldn't throw, so he couldn't play deep.
Right. But, you know, he's hanging on, technically, in a sense. I mean, how many people wanted him back? How come Bernie's not here? Where's Bernie?
He's playing guitar.
Sure.
Badly, somewhere.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, but you see these guys.
He's actually going to, I heard, some music school in Brooklyn.
I can believe it. Usually he's down in Puerto Rico. But I guess he wants to be back up in the city, sure.
Wants a degree.
Yeah. But the Mets did get rid of Ike Davis finally. He was straight to the Pirates.
Yeah, what they get? Something to be named later. Well, I'm always wondering what that is.
Well, that depends on... They were talking about it, that depends on... What is it? Either how much money he's given, like how much money is being taken care of by the Mets or the Pirates, or how well he does, I think. I forget how they worked it out, but it's like, okay... If this happens, we give you a good one.
Satin's the answer, or Duda?
Duda. Duda walks a lot. He's got a really good on-base percentage.
Well, they moved the fences in for Duda, didn't they?
They did. But now David Wright. Remember when David Wright only hit 10?
Yeah.
In their first year, they moved it in for him first. So.
Well, remember when they had 7 different levels?
Where?
Of heights. Like the
Like
the skyline. It was stepped. It was the weirdest thing.
Oh yeah. Who was it? Howie Rose called it the Great Wall of Shea, because it would start at the corner at one, like an 8 foot high, and then it would slant up to like 12 feet high, go across, and then stop, and then abruptly go back down to 8. Now, no slanted, just abruptly go down, and then it's crazy. The overhang. Yeah. I don't like City Field. I'm sorry. I miss Shea. I really do. It was great. The right. place hopped
well,
and popped.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I remember going to the World's Fair, not opening day, but to the World's Fair.
The 50th?
64.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Just happened, the 50th anniversary of the 64 World's Fair. That was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
So.
The Mets commemorated the 50th anniversary of the opening of Shea with a ticket deal. $3.50?
Yeah, did that already happen?
Yeah, that happened.
Oh, wow.
$3.50, yeah. For a tip, but, you know, those aren't tickets beyond home plate. Those are, you know.
The Bernie Madoff seats? Well, nobody wants to sit there.
No, nobody wants to sit there. But I went on a tour of City Field. It is a nice park. In general, it's nice, but as a playing.
Is it a cross between.
Playing, it's a stadium, I don't like it.
Is it a cross between Disney World and the mall? Or?
A little bit. It
they have a Shake Shack.
They do. They do have a Shake Shack, and now they have a place for the Seven Line, the fan inspired outfits and.
So it's
stuff.
An experience. It's not just a game.
Yeah, it's I'm a sit and watch the whole game. I'll get up to get food that's not being passed around or anything like that. But you know, I don't. I'll probably take my kid over when he's old enough. He wants to go over to the wiffle ball park, I'll do that, but you know, I'm not going to necessarily be shopping during the game. I'll get there early enough to do any sort
sure
of shopping.
Oh, sure, you're going to watch the game.
Yeah, because I like to watch the game and stuff like that, so that's what I'm, it's what it's always nice to go to the park for.
Sure.
Yeah. So, so Michael Pineda, did you hear about him? With the pine tar
on the
neck.
Well, wasn't the week before that he was doing it on his palm?
He had it on the heel of his
yeah.
pitching hand. Now,
I saw that.
Because we live in a world full of cameras and all sorts of
right.
entertainment usage, we see these things. 2006, Kenny Rogers was pitching game two of the World Series.
Not singing.
Tigers versus the Cardinals. He was on the Tigers. And they spotted on his hand.
Yeah,
pine tar. Okay. Or so they spotted something dark. It was pine tar.
Right,
and he was alerted to the fact that television cameras picked that up, and he wiped it off. So he wasn't investigated by anybody. And then they went back a couple weeks earlier from like file photos from the Associated Press, and again he had stuff on his heel.
Okay.
So this isn't new.
Right.
So Michael Pineda having it on his wrist, on the heel of his hand, not new.
On his neck.
On his neck. That's blatant. There was an article recently by Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports where he's talking about how the laziness of cheating that's come. Last year, Clay Buchholz was, I want to say, like 6-10-1. He had a great start to the season. He got injured halfway through, but great start to the season. The Blue Jays were complaining because in the Sky Dome, whether it's a night game, he's got suntan lotion on his arm.
Right.
Bullfrog suntan lotion, and he keeps patting
right.
the what do you call it, the powder that's behind
the rosin
bag. So rosin bag and the bullfrog suntan lotion, and he kept going with two fingers like a peace sign, touching his arm every now and then. What does he need? So their complaint was, what does he need suntan lotion for? It created a sticky bond.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, isn't that what rosin does?
No.
But yes.
And technically,
yes,
and
it improves the
right,
grip.
Of course.
So that's what they're looking for.
Yes.
So yeah, but this.
And
so
technically.
But how could baseball be sacred when?
No, it's not.
When Sosa and I mean, these
if anybody tells you it's sacred, they're
right,
living.
Recently, he's not involved in anything to do with
the Cubs. The Cubs.
He apologized.
They had the 100th anniversary of the opening of Wrigley Field, and he wasn't invited.
Uninvited,
and they didn't. They didn't say like
use that chase with McGuire to sell. You know how many people
they never are? Said Sosa's name. They never brought him up once. The Cubs did.
Well, he doesn't speak English.
No,
well, in the Congress.
Well, yes, of course. When he spoke to Congress, yeah, but. So he wasn't invited. So yeah, anybody who tells you that the sacredness of baseball
it's
is still thinks that Truman and Eisenhower are running the country.
They still think Piazza. didn't have a pimply back.
Piazza, there's no concrete evidence. Right. All of a sudden, one article comes out, But anyway, so technically, pitchers are allowed to have pine tar.
Yeah.
You see the ones who have
But isn't this entertainment? Why do people think it's sport? They want it to be on the level?
It's not.
They want it to be on the level.
Well, they want it to be. If you're going to do it smartly. Yeah. Look, you've heard about the guys who have.
The guy can't throw a strike unless he has that.
I know, but when you go out in the if you go out in the first inning and you have nothing on your neck,
yeah.
And in the second inning you have the biggest.
But you had a horrible first inning.
Right,
now,
I know,
now
but
you need to get control.
Then do it smartly.
Yeah, yeah.
You see so many guys go to the brim of their hat or the top of their hat.
What did the manager do after the player apologized?
Right.
Girardi said that he wasn't using it as an advantage. They're buying into this.
Well, of course. But Girardi's a former major league guy.
Torrey's the one that sends down the suspension, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't he part of the process?
With Pineda, he got a 10-game suspension, but that's automatic. That's in the rules, an automatic suspension of 10 games by a pitcher who uses a foreign object.
So what is that, one start or two for him?
Two. It's two starts. Right. Now, but here's the thing. They didn't like I said, last year, Clay Buchholz for the Red Sox, he had stuff on his arm. He almost got caught with, a foreign substance. Michael Pineda pitched the game with the stuff on his hand against the Red Sox. The Red Sox aren't going to call him out on that because they have players who might necessarily do the same thing. But when you're so blatant about it, when you're stupid, when you stupidly do that, you have no choice but to go, look, come on. We can take the subversiveness.
This wink and a nod stuff and all that stuff that's allowed. Phantom play at second. I mean, it's entertainment.
This
isn't really sport. Not a swipe tag. I mean, we're going to have a left-handed catcher now. I mean, how's that going to work?
I don't know. But we'll see. Because
what can spur this? You can't block the plate.
No, unfortunately. I wish they could. I don't think you're giving up this. It's all going to be Olé.
Yeah, but you can imagine a football saying at the goal line, I don't want to,
Yeah, allowed to touch.
Block the goal line.
I don't get it, but look, I'm sorry to the San Francisco Giants that in 2011 you didn't go to the playoffs because you were so convinced that Buster Posey was going to bring you to a second championship in a row. So, catchers have broken their legs before. They've been knocked out. Ray Fossey, he was never the same after that All-Star game with Pete Rose. These things happen. And if you're a catcher, you should know that your body's going to be beat up.
I thought that was the fastest way to the major leagues, a left-handed hitting catcher.
A left-handed, it is. But once you're there, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be productive.
Right.
I can name a whole bunch of catchers that I know by name that weren't more than just a left-handed. Yeah, like you said, left-handed. Mark Parent, or Mark Parent, if you want to call him that. Ed Taubenzy. These weren't guys who were, great hitters.
Mackie Sasser hit left-handed.
Mackie Sasser was lefty. Actually, I think Mark Parent might have been right-handed, but he was just a...
Right.
But he was a big guy, and he could call a good game, but he couldn't hit a lick. Mackie Sasser's an excellent. Barry Lyons from the Mets in the
80s. Sounds like a football name.
Yeah. I mean, but look at somebody like Todd Huntley. Todd Huntley was a very good catcher who hit. He was a power-hitting catcher.
Didn't his dad play in the major league?
Yes, he did. But the problem with Todd Huntley was if you're an everyday catcher, your body's going to get beat up. Those knees aren't going to be the same. Right. And all of a sudden, you got to get moved to first base or the outfield.
Yeah.
How about Mike Piazza? Well, all of a sudden, he was told one day, all right, you're a first baseman now. Why?
Happened to Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra.
Left field.
He played the outfield. Joe Mauer right now. Joe Mauer, he's an MVP, an AL MVP. He's won batting crowns, batting titles, and he's playing first base now. Because he's a cat, everyday catchers get beat up behind the plate. You're constantly getting down in a squat.
Well, they talk to everybody anyhow. So he goes from a catcher to they're like
Buster Posey. If we're talking about him, Buster Posey is technically a first baseman now.
Right.
These things happen, you know.
They're conversationalist.
Yeah.
At the plate, and now they moved to first, so.
Yeah, so now you get to continue the conversation over there. So, the playoffs are going on for basketball and hockey right now.
Right.
Now, have you heard about the new setup for the NHL playoffs? There are four divisions, two in the East, two in the West.
I like the Ducks.
The Ducks, there you go. That's a good one. That could be a good one. But the top three teams in each one of those divisions goes to playoffs, and then a wild card from either of the two. But then they're seeded within their own division.
Okay.
So for an instance, in the Atlantic, it's Boston, Tampa, Montreal, and Detroit. So they play...
Like Montreal.
Right. Well, Montreal beat Tampa Bay. Mm. So technically, Boston was the first seed, and Tampa was the second seed, Montreal was the third.
I never root for Boston, but I love the uniforms.
The great, classic uniforms. And now, because Boston and Montreal moved on, so that's an Original Six matchup. And a classic Original Six. But then, in the other Eastern Division... it's Pittsburgh, New York, Philadelphia, and Columbus. And they're seeded 1-4.
Don't tell me the Flyers are going to beat the Rangers.
Well, so far, I think the series is tied, I believe.
No. It's 2-1.
No, it's 2-2. It's tied. Rangers-Phillies are tied 2-2. So, of the two, I'd much rather Rangers than Philly. But that's just me. But in any case, so instead of seeding the teams 1-8, they've seeded them 1-4 in each division.
And
whoever comes out of that then plays the other Eastern or Western division.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I was just asking what you thought about it. Because now you're seeing a lot more of inter-divisional matchup.
We root for that when there's nothing on
the line. But I'll give you this as the only problem I see in that. Now we're going into the second round, and now it's Boston, Montreal. Why can't that be for the chance to go to the Cup Finals?
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to, Rangers-Philly, that shouldn't be a first-round matchup.
Yeah, but divisional sells.
No, it does. It does, especially when you're playing somebody in your own, you know, especially right. when you're playing a classic matchup. But so you like Anaheim?
I do.
Okay, good. Good.
It's a great story in a lot of ways.
Right. Now, I brought this up on my last one. I don't know if I've told you this. First time in NBA playoff history, no Celtics, Lakers, no Knicks. So that's – and I was talking about how NBA is now a regional game in terms of who do you want to watch. You want to watch the big names. You're not going to want to watch Charlotte and, you know, Memphis and, you know, Portland or
I think you're right.
Great. Golden State, so I just thought that was interesting.
Well, are they killing the goose?
I think so. Well, it's tough because this is the era after the great era. This is the era after Bird, Magic, Kareem, Michael, Olajuwon, Ewing.
But what does the $50 ticket get me at the NBA? At Citi Field, it gets me in the outfield.
A $50 ticket, depending if you go to Madison Square Garden, top section.
You can get in there, NBA game for $50.
Maybe, but you'd be all the way up at the top with some other people who are just scraping by. Same thing with Brooklyn. So, okay. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Dad, on this episode. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Just search Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store. You can visit our website, everymansports.podbean.com, or you can email me with any comments, questions, concerns, or questions at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thank you very much. Take care.